Welcome to the Mission North Shore podcast. If you'd like to know more about our ministry here at the Mission, visit us online at www.themissionnorthshore.org. Thanks for listening. God bless.
Hey, church family. Well, happy Sunday morning. Hope everybody's doing all right, and I hope you had a wonderful Easter. Let's open up in our Bibles to Numbers chapter 13. And we'll get into the Word of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for this time we get to spend together, even though we're not physically together. We're in your Word together, and we pray that you would bless this study and use it to affect our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you remember back before Easter, we spent a couple of Sundays talking about fear versus faith. And obviously the reason that we are doing that is because of the whole coronavirus and what's going on right now, how fear is kind of everywhere and faith is being challenged in so many cases. And what I'd like to do today is go back to that topic of fear versus faith one more time, because there's another important aspect of fear and faith that I feel like it's worth going back and covering. And that aspect is this, that both fear and faith are contagious. Fear and faith are contagious. Fear is contagious, and faith is as well. And when I say contagious, what I mean is this, that it has the ability, fear has the ability, and faith has the ability to be spread from you to others, from me to others, right? And this is true of fear, this is true of faith. And so it's worth then asking ourselves, which one am I spreading at this time? And it's an important topic for us to consider, because we as the church, as followers of Christ, are supposed to be a people of great faith. God said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, he said, "But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul will have no pleasure in him." And then it goes on in Hebrews 11, chapter 6, to say that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the Apostle Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, that we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith. And what that means is we're walking in faith, in the love, in the faithfulness, and in the promises of God. And these things, the love of God, the faithfulness of God, the promises of God, these things are to be the first and most important filters and the primary influences on the way that you and I think and how we act. We should be thinking and acting based on the love and the faithfulness and the promises of God, as opposed to walking by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight, because if we're walking by sight, then we're only looking at the conditions of a fallen world. And of course, if we're only looking at the conditions of a fallen world, that's going to cause for us fear and anxiety. And it's not to say that we're to be ignorant of the conditions of a fallen world, but it is to say that you and I are to have our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And as I pointed out a couple weeks ago, the most repeated command in the Bible is the command for God's people to be a people of faith, to not fear. We're meant to be a people of great faith. And here's the point that we're going to get to today, that our faith or our lack of faith doesn't only affect us, but it also can be contagious. It can affect other people. Fear is contagious, and faith is also contagious. And it can be contagious to our spouse, can be contagious and can affect our children, right? As they watch whether we're operating in fear or whether we're operating in faith, it can be contagious to friends and family and neighbors and coworkers. It can even be contagious to people that we don't even know, but who are listening to and also watching the way that we live our lives right now. And so our faith or our fear could be influencing other people. So let's look at these two truths by looking at two well-known Old Testament Bible stories. And the first one, we'll start with a place where fear was contagious. And that place is Kadesh Barnea. Now, if we were to define fear from a biblical perspective or to define fear from a scriptural perspective, we could use this as the definition. This is just something I came up with. But my definition of fear from a biblical perspective would be this. When the concerns of this world cause us to lose perspective on the sovereignty, power, and goodness of God, leading to a lack of trust and resulting in anxiety. And the temptation for many Christians right now is to allow fear to dictate their thoughts and their feelings and their actions instead of faith. Now, Kadesh Barnea is where the Israelites were supposed to enter into the land under the leadership of Moses. It's a border town. They were coming out of the desert, and they were supposed to come into the promised land under the leadership of Moses. And they had seen great things from God. We need to think for a moment, just so we have perspective on what's happening as they stand at Kadesh Barnea. All that they had seen from God. So they had seen the 10 plagues, as God had sent those upon Egypt and set Israel free. So they had seen the mighty hand of God in judgment against Egypt. They had seen the sea parted before them as Moses lifted up his staff and the sea parted and they crossed over on dry land. They saw God then drown Pharaoh and his army behind them as he saved and preserved Israel. God then provided for them food from heaven, what they called manna. Every morning they could get up and there was always enough food for them and their family. When they grumbled and they wanted meat, God sent quail right into their camp. And when they got thirsty, God provided water from a rock for them. So all of that to say that God had shown them great power and great faithfulness. But this was just a warm-up to what God wanted to do for his people. God said to his people prior to this that if you go into the land, if you trust me, if you listen to me, if you leave Kadesh Barnea and you walk into the promised land, I will drive out all of the pagan nations that are before you in the promised land. I'll give you a land that is truly flowing with milk and honey. God even promised that there would always be enough food and water for the nation of Israel if they would only follow him and be faithful to him. In Exodus chapter 23, 25, it says that God would protect them from illness. And then in Exodus 23, 26, it even says this, there will be no miscarriages or infertility in your land, and I will give you long, full lives. Now, these were specific promises given to the nation of Israel if they would only walk by faith in God and do what God had told them. Sounds like a good deal to me. And so they come to Kadesh Barnea, where they've been given these promises, but they become nervous. And so what they do is they send 12 spies in to look at this new land that God has promised to them. This is where we pick up in Numbers chapter 13. And these spies were a leader from each of the 12 tribes. So one leader from each of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel was sent into the land. They spent 40 days walking around the land, spying it out, seeing if it truly was the good land that God had promised. And then they come back and they even bring a bunch of fruit as they come back to Kadesh Barnea and they show this fruit to Moses and to the Israelites and they go, look at all of these grapes and pomegranates and all of this fruit. And they say this, this is the report that they give. So if you're in Numbers 13, look at verse 27. It says, we went into the land where you sent us and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. So they come back with all this fruit and they go, it's a great land. It's everything that God said it was. Look at all this wonderful fruit. But then verse 38 says this, nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong And the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Achan there. And Amalek is living in the land of the Negev. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites, they're living in the hill country. And the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. But then in verse 30, it says that Caleb quieted the people. And he said before Moses, "We shall by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." But the men who had gone up with them said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us." So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all of the people who we saw there are men of great size." They're all a bunch of giants in the land. And this is where fear becomes contagious. If you flip over to Numbers chapter 14, we see the response. It says there, as the people of Israel are hearing this report, it says, "Then all of the congregation lifted up their voices and they cried, and the people wept that night. And all of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in the wilderness.'" They said, "We would have rather died in Egypt, or we would have rather died out in the desert." And then in verse 3, they blame God. They say, "Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt." Well, Joshua and Caleb, they tried to encourage the Israelites to trust in God. But the people fed off of the fear of the 12 scared spies. And that fear then became infectious among the people. And they didn't go into the promised land then until that entire adult generation had died off. And we need to consider this for our own lives. Because if you and I are operating in fear, there is a very, very good chance that we're influencing people around us and how they're going to think. Our friends, our family, our spouse, our children are going to pick up on the fact if you and I are operating in fear right now. Now, this is important. I'm not suggesting for any one of us to fake it. To put on a brave face, as they say, and try to make people think that we're standing strong. What I'm suggesting is that you and I should have genuine faith in God based on knowing the character and the power and the goodness of the Lord. Because He's only ever been faithful to us. I mean, He Himself died for our sins. He has proven that He loves us at the highest level. We have no reason to doubt God or His ways or His plans or His goodness. God has never failed me, and He's not going to start now. And that should have been the attitude and the understanding of the Israelites at Kadesh Barnea. Because of all that they had seen and all that God had done for them leading up to that point. He's only ever been faithful to them. They should have marched into the promised land with the full confidence in a faithful God. But fear is a powerful thing. And fear became contagious. But the good news is that faith is also a powerful thing. And faith is also contagious. And the place where faith was contagious in the Old Testament that we're going to look at is in the Valley of Elah. One of the best known Bible stories in all of the Bible, and that's of David and Goliath. So grab your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17 now. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, We don't have time to go through the whole story of David and Goliath, and most of you are very familiar with it. David is a young man. He's not of military age yet. In fact, when Saul is addressing David, he says, "You're but a youth." And David was sent by his father Jesse to go down and bring some food to his brothers and to check on what was going on with the armies of Israel. They had gathered in the Valley of Elah. They were there to try and stop the Philistines who were coming up from the coastal plain up into the hill country of Israel. And the army has been down there. Saul was the king at the time. It's Saul's army. They've been down there for 40 days. David's brothers are down there. Three of his brothers are down there. And they've been down there for 40 days, kind of lined up, if you will, in battle array against the Philistine army. But for 40 days, the Philistine army, and primarily this giant Goliath, has been taunting them this whole time. And the Israelite army was paralyzed with fear, and they wouldn't go out to the battle. And when young David arrives, he is appalled that this Philistine giant is now mocking the armies of the living God. And David says to everybody, he says, "You know, everybody stop worrying. I'll go out and fight this guy." And Saul says to him, "You can't go out and fight this guy. You're too small and you're too inexperienced. And Goliath, he's a seasoned warrior. He's been a warrior his whole life." And David says, "Don't you worry about a thing." He says, "My God was faithful when I needed to kill a lion. My God was faithful when I needed to kill a bear because they came after my sheep. And because my God is faithful then, my God will be faithful today." You see, David had experienced the faithfulness of God, and he had no reason to doubt it on this day. And so David went out to a creek bed there, and he grabbed five stones. We were in this creek bed just a little over a month ago, and he grabs five stones from the creek bed, and he walks out onto the battlefield, never wavering for a second. You know, and he's got the whole army of Israel behind him and watching to see what happens. Well, when he gets out on the battlefield, Goliath actually gets mad when he sees David because he's just a kid. You know, Goliath had been saying, "Hey, send your strongest, most capable soldier out here and me and him will fight." And they end up with a little kid walking out on the battlefield. And that's where we pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look at verse 43. It says, "The Philistine said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine also said to David, 'Come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field.' And then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. And this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and their bodies to the beasts of the earth, and the earth may know that there is a God in Israel.' And this," he says, "all the assembly may know." Look at verse 47. He's got this entire army of Israel who's been shaking in their boots for 40 days. And he says, "And that all of this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." I love that. And then I love verse 48. It's one of my favorite verses because it says there that David ran at Goliath. Not an ounce of fear in him. Just all faith in the Lord. He sees this giant, and in David's mind, he can't wait to get there to see the victory of the Lord. And so he runs at Goliath, and he puts a stone in his sling, and he slings it, hits the giant right in the head, and he keels over dead. And it says in verse 51, "Then David ran, and he stood over the Philistine. He took his sword out, the giant sword, Goliath's sword. He drew it out from his sheath and killed him. He cut off his head with it. And then the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, and they fled. And now faith gets contagious. Because look at verse 52. The men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. They jumped in the battle. What they should have done the whole time, they didn't do. And here's the big point. This is what we're getting at. The army of Israel sat scared for 40 days, shaking in their boots until a man of faith showed up. And when they saw somebody operating in faith, faith became contagious, and everyone followed David's lead, and they all got in the battle. You see? And the question for you and I is this. Which one are we? Right? Which one most closely represents us? The scared spies of Kadesh Barnea, or the fearless faith of David in the Valley of Elah? You see, the truth for the people of God is this, that we can never be what God intended us to be without faith. It's in God's own words that he says. We just read this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. You know, in the week leading up to Easter, it was such a cool thing to see so many within the church operating in faith, and how many of you guys recorded your testimony and you send it out via social media with the hashtag Jesus changed my life. And that was just a faith move. And I know that even some of you guys actually lost followers because you sent your testimony out over your social media. Some people stopped following you. But you know what happened? It ended up from our church and other churches that were involved with this, it ended up with over 14,000 testimonies that went out. And that has to then translate into hundreds of thousands of people that were reached with the testimonies of changed lives by the gospel of God. And then many of you guys, in faith, sent out the Easter sermon to your unsaved friends. That was a faith move. And in fact, what we were able to do this year was reach more people with the gospel than we've ever reached with an Easter service before. And, you know, I know a lot of us were kind of lamenting not being able to gather under the tent as we usually do and have our Easter service, but God used it and he reached more people than we've ever been able to reach under the tent. My wife runs the social media for the church, and she was just telling me last night that a guy sent in a message via Instagram, and I think he got it kind of, somebody had sent the sermon to him maybe second or third hand. It had been sent from one of you guys to one of your friends, and then one of your friends sent it to him, and he's on the East Coast, and he just sent a little note saying thank you because he got saved through a sermon that was sent out by you guys, and it ended up reaching him, and he got saved all the way on the East Coast. There were views, because you guys sent out the sermon, there were views in over 20 different countries, in places like Taiwan and New Zealand and Germany and all of these other countries, because by faith, you guys sent the sermon to friends who may have sent them to other friends. And the application is simple. It's operate in faith. That's what we were designed for. That's what God created us for. To grow in your faith, to operate in your faith, to trust in God, and then that faith will become contagious. Don't ever forget the calling that Jesus has put on our life. Now that we think about the fact that faith can be contagious and fear can be contagious, as we think about that, let's read this verse here in Matthew chapter 5. It's a very well-known verse, but let's read it while we have this mindset of faith and fear both being contagious. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anybody light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Therefore, let your light shine before men, in such a way that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, here's what I want to get at, right? It says nobody lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. You're supposed to put it up on a lampstand so it lights up the whole house. Fear puts the light under the basket. Somebody would say, who puts the light under the basket? Fear puts the light under the basket. You have the light of Christ in your life. You have the gospel of Christ. But those that are hiding it under a basket, some are. But faith takes that light and it puts it up on a lampstand for the whole world to see. And faith is what we were made for. And if you walk in it, it will influence the people around you. The more we walk in faith, the more it will influence the people close to us and even people far from us. Our spouse, our kids. Our kids are going to pick up on whether we're walking in faith or fear. Our friends are going to pick up on whether we're walking in faith and fear. Our family, our neighbors, our coworkers. And as I said before, there's even people out there that we don't know. They're watching our lives and they're listening to how we talk. And they're going to pick up on whether we're a people of faith and whether we genuinely, truly believe in the love and in the faithfulness and the care and the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. Well, I love you guys. The call for us to operate in faith. Let's pray. Lord, I pray over our entire church that we would be a people of faith, that we would not waver. There's nothing in this world that can affect us because our eternity is settled in you. There's nothing that should unsettle us because we have the promise of your word and the testimony of your faithfulness, and you died on the cross to prove that you love us more than we even know. So I pray over our church, Lord, that we would genuinely be now a people of faith. We pray this together and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.